Welcome to Bethlehem Covenant Church's Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed as you listen to this message.
Good morning, Bethlehem Covenant Church. Thanks for joining us here on this Mother's Day, May 12th. I hope that you are doing well. Did you have a good mom? Did you have a mom who prayed for you and loved you and took care of you? I did. I had a wonderful mom. Still do. She still looks after me, still calls me up to make sure I'm getting my shots and going to the dentist, and also encourages me from time to time with scripture verses and just words of, I love you, Danny. I have a wonderful mom. I have had wonderful grandparents and mother-in-law, and I have an amazing wife who is a mom to our kids. And so I have been blessed by many women in my life who have influenced and poured into me and those around me. And so today it is Mother's Day. If you can, if your mom's still alive, call her up, tell her how great she is, tell her how much you love her. Also, if she isn't with us today, thank God for the gift of your mom and the difference that she made in your life. And all moms, of course, you know, are human, just like all of us dads and guys and are too. And so we remember that. No one's perfect, but we are so thankful. My mom has been just absolutely perfect for me, and so thankful for her. And so happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. A couple announcements as we begin today. One is, I want to thank everybody who came and gave to the Cinco de Mayo youth fundraiser for the kids that are going to Unite, the high school camp out in California. We raised over $6,200. Last weekend with that, and I'm just so thankful for that. Thank you, everybody who gave to that. Also wanted to let you know that we're open now. It's 3 weeks away into VBS, our Vacation Bible School, and it is going to be a great one, as it always is. So register your kids today on our church email or website. You can click on the link there and register your kids for VBS. We need to know about how many are coming, so register them in the next little while. And then if you are interested in being baptized, if you've never been baptized and you're interested in wanting to be, is that your expression of your faith, which the Bible calls us to do, then please call me, text me, email me. Let me know you're interested. We're going to have a baptism service this summer, and we're going to plan it around the schedule of when people can be there who are interested in being baptized. We already have a few, and if you would like to be one, just reach out to me sometime. All right, we're going to continue on now in our sermon series. We're in the book of James, if you want to turn over there, and we're studying this. It'll take us through most of the summer. We're in our third sermon now. You can listen to the other two on YouTube if you haven't. But this morning, we're going to look at verses 19 through 27 of the first chapter. So James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. And it says this, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to becoming angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that's so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in all that they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, they deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. But religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: it is to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." This morning, we continue on with our series here for the summer. We're going through this amazing book of James, as I said, which is all about real faith, living faith, It's walking the walk and not just talking the talk, but having a daily relationship with Christ as our Lord and our Savior and friend, and putting our faith in Him into practice in our everyday situations. The first week we talked about trials and how to keep our faith and focus on Jesus in the middle of our trials and what God is wanting to accomplish in the hardest times in our life. Last week we talked about temptation and how every one of us is tempted. Even as believers, we still have desires within us for things that are not good for us. But behind every evil desire is a pure desire for something that we are seeking just in a wrong way to have it fulfilled. So with Christ in our life and the guidance of the Holy Spirit and the truth, we're able to see the traps that are out there and have the strength to overcome our temptation, finding in Jesus the way towards the good things in life. Well, this week, the topic James brings up is listening and doing. Are you listening in your life for the voice of God? Really tuned in, seeking it, daily listening for what God is trying to teach you and tell you of where He wants to lead you and your family? Are you really intentional about seeking God's direction for your life, for your family? And are you open to whatever God has to say to you about who you are and what you're doing and how to treat that person or live your life? Are we listening to God daily? And not just listening, but actually believing Him and His word and changing our course, our direction, our attitudes and behaviors based upon whatever He says is good and right for us. It's one thing to listen and hear or read about it in the Bible. It's another thing to really let it get into our heart and to believe God and then to obey God. This is what this chapter is all about. Are you listening for God and then doing what He says? Basically, is God really God of your life, like you say? In the Old Testament, God spoke to His people in various ways. He told Noah to build an ark, and Noah listened and obeyed God. And sure enough, the rain came and the flood, but Noah and his family were safe because he listened and obeyed. God told Abram that He was going to bless him and make his name great, and He told Abram to go to a land of Canaan, and He was going to give him and Sarah a child, even in their old age, and that through his descendants, all the nations of earth would be blessed. Abram listened to God and obeyed and went. And even though he didn't know how the promise of God would be fulfilled, he trusted God and obeyed and was blessed. God spoke to Moses through a burning bush and told him to go to Pharaoh, for God was going to deliver His people out of slavery and bring them into the promised land. And Moses heard the voice of God, and Moses obeyed God. Even though he was scared and felt inadequate to go, he trusted the Lord would do what He promised, and God did. God spoke to Samuel in the middle of the night and told him He was going to be a voice for him. God spoke through the prophets. In the New Testament, we see God speaking through His Son, Jesus, and the people believed in Him and His word and obeyed Him by faith, found everlasting life. And then when Jesus ascended into heaven, God continues to speak to His people now through His Holy Spirit and through the Word. And that is how they knew, you know, and how we know which way to go and what God wants from us. And if we're listening, we will hear His voice and we are to obey it. In fact, Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep listen to My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. I give them eternal life. No one can take them from My hand." He said, "I am the good shepherd. I know My sheep, and My sheep know Me." Do we know Him? Do we listen to the voice of our shepherd? This is what James is talking about in our scripture for today. Are we listening for the voice of our shepherd and Lord each day? And are we obeying what He says and where He tells us to go? Are we doing it? or are we still going our own way? Real faith listens to the voice of God and then obeys. Jesus is not just our Savior, He is also our Lord. We trust in Him and follow Him. We let God and His Word guide our steps and our decisions and our direction. Like David, who prays in Psalm 25, "In You, O Lord my God, I put my trust. Show me Your ways, Lord. Teach me Your paths. Guide me in Your truth and teach me. For You are God, my Savior, and my hope is in You, my all day long." Is this really true of our life? Do we really want to know what God thinks and how we are to act? And have we really turned over our life to Him, listening for His voice and doing what He says? For this is the true Christian life. It's kind of like we're going back to the basics here in the book of James. What does it mean to have a relationship with God through Christ? How are we different from anybody else that's in the world? Well, we believe in Jesus. But do we really follow Him? Are we daily seeking Him, listening for His voice? Or are we mostly just living our life separate from God, doing whatever we want? Or is our heart's desire to know His will and to obey His will? James said, these are the ones whose life will be blessed. There are three things I want to draw your attention to in our scripture for today. The first, it says here that we should be quick to listen and slow to speak. And it goes on to say we're to humbly accept the word planted within us, which can accept us. Now, I've always looked at this verse, we should be quick to listen and slow to speak, as a verse that is good for our relationships. You know, today it seems like everyone is talking over everyone else, and no one is really listening. Everyone just thinks what they have to say is so important that we are right and the other one is wrong. We've got so much pride, but is anyone even listening to the other? Are we listening to our spouse and her needs, or just wanting her to hear our point of view? Are we listening to our kids, what's really going on inside of them, what they're feeling, or just talking at them all the time? Are we open and listening to those we disagree with and trying to understand them? Or have we already just made up our mind about them and not willing to change and just wanting to judge them, not willing to hear anything? James is talking about listening in this first section. Are we a good listener? And he's talking about the importance here of humility. And not just in our relationships with others, but most importantly, he's talking about in our relationship with God. Are we so driven by our own desires and ambitions and so set in our ways that we're no longer listening to the voice of God as He speaks? No longer open to what God is really trying to say? Things that He wants to teach us, or ways that He wants to change us, or things that if we would just be quiet for a moment and listen to Him and believe would save us from a whole lot of suffering. God is wanting to us to listen to Him. And good listening is hard. Speaking is easy. But being quiet, still, and waiting, and seeking the voice of God, that requires discipline. It is setting aside time for God to speak. It's opening His Word and over time letting His Spirit guide us into a new way of thinking and acting that is more like Him and less like us. It's the attitude of I don't know, but God does. And so I'm going to seek Him each day in His Word and prayer because I know that He loves me and wants to show me what to do and how to do it. I'm going to walk with God, not walk alone. You know, it's kind of like Jesus' parable of the sower and the seed and how our hearts are like that soil and our minds can be hard and not open to receiving the Word of God and the things that He wants to say to us. And so every sermon or scripture or sign that He sends our way goes in one ear and out the other. It just bounces off. We're not taking it in, not really wanting to hear, not really wanting to change or obey. We want to do our own thing. Or we might just be too busy, always on the go, nonstop. We're not listening. or attentive to God, so we don't hear him. Jesus calls us instead in that parable to stay broken and humble and receiving the word of God. For if we take it in and we take it truly to heart, it will produce great things in us. So the question of James is simply, are you listening to God? I think it's also interesting that James connects good listening with controlling our anger. He says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to becoming angry. For this is how fights break out among us. There is so much anger in the world today. Not only are we not good listeners to each other, just shouting at each other, we're so angry at each other. The left or the right or this person who cut us off or this neighbor who did that or the bitterness we harbor towards someone in our past. People are ready to snap in a moment today. We all got rage on the inside from who knows what that we need to surrender to Christ, to let him heal us from within and get us to forgive the people and to show grace and love to the people around us. We're all like a volcano ready to explode today. Even at our loved ones, our hearts are wounded and afraid. Jesus says here that we are to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to becoming angry, because he says man's anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. Our anger in any given situation, even if justified, won't lead to his outcome. It won't help us. It doesn't bring good to our world, only further pain. Sometimes our anger is there because we're afraid. Other times because we're deeply wounded. Other times because we just feel helpless to change the situation or something that isn't good. Or maybe sometimes our anger is there simply because of our ego has been offended. I can feed my anger sometimes by the news or the social media I watch or the gossip that I hear. Or I can feed my anger just by dwelling upon the negatives or exaggerating in my mind the motives of the other person or replaying that hurt over and over again, letting the anger only build. That doesn't help a thing. This is not from God. This is not his will. This is the enemy at work within us. It's temptation again to just hate, to make this about us, or to fear. James will talk more about anger later in his book, but he mentions it here as something that can also get in the way of us truly listening and hearing one another and listening to what God wants in this situation. Anger can get in the way of us hearing from him. We're so mad or caught up in what another did, we just want to get them and we aren't hearing what God wants for this moment. James says, get rid of all the moral filth and evil and humbly accept the word planted in you. It pulls back and it prays, God, I'm so angry right now, but I know this anger can't be my master. So help me to forgive this person. Help me to really listen. Help me to love this person. And Lord, I know ultimately this is not about me or them, but my life is about you and what you want me to do in this situation. So help me, Lord. I'm listening. You are my master, not my anger. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. The second thing I wanted to point out in this scripture, besides listening well, is doing. James says in verse 22, don't just listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. It says, anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like a man who looks into a mirror and then walks away and immediately forgets what he looks like. The illustration is simple. It's this. It's like if in the morning I woke up and I got dressed and I looked into that mirror and I saw my face and I believe what the mirror is showing me to be the truth. This is what I really look like. And if I saw in that mirror the truth that there was this big chocolate smudge on my chin from last night's dessert, crusted on there, all gross. The mirror showed me this, and I believed that it was really there. But if I didn't wash it off, if I just kept it on there after seeing it, and then went off to work, and people came, and then they saw me, and they said, Dan, you got this big gooey whatever on your face. And then I said back to them, yeah, I know. I saw it there this morning in the mirror. They would look at me and wonder, well, why didn't you wash it off then? you know, I guess that would have been probably a good idea. Well, the point here is just basic. It's just simple. It's that the Word of God is a mirror to us. It reveals what's going on in our life and in our heart. And so if we hear it and we believe it, what it's saying, the truth of what it's saying, but don't do anything about it, what's the point? James is saying, don't just read the Bible. Don't just listen to the sermon and say amen, and then leave the church the same as you were before. If God has revealed something to you about yourself or the truth of your sin or the way of Christ or greater life and joy and peace and hope found in Him, believe Him and begin to put it into practice in your life. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. His word is true. Like a mirror, it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. You can trust it, what He reveals to you through His word. Don't just hear it. Be changed by it. Change your course because of what you read. Even if you've always believed one way. If God's word reveals to you something else, that you are wrong in the way you're looking at something, trust Him. Sometimes it's just that eternal perspective that it brings. Sometimes it's about believing in His love and forgiveness, which is for us, and knowing that we are forgiven in Him and trusting that. It's living that truth. Sometimes we got to stop just talking about it and discussing it and start doing it. Our faith can't just be something we mentally, you know, think about, but the way then we react and believe and act upon the word, that's where true faith is seen, in the listening and the doing. Which leads me to the final thing I want to point out from our scripture, the last two verses, which are so good. James gives us a few examples of what this pure religion looks like, that God wants to do in us. The first example he gives is being careful of the words that we say. For he says, those who consider themselves religious, but don't keep a tight rein on their tongue, they deceive themselves and their religion is worthless. The word worthless does not mean that you're not saved. You're saved by your faith in Jesus Christ alone. But this is talking about religion and our spiritual practices being worthless. Are we really letting Christ in through them or just going through the motions of religion? Because that would be worthless. That if not done from the heart, not truly receiving it, and not done in love, it's worthless. We're not allowing those things to change us. It's saying it's great that you go to the church, and it's great that you're in a Bible study, or that you fast once a week, or you give to the offering, or pray before meals. That's all wonderful. But a true Christian faith is not just seen in your religious practice, but the difference that they make in you. How they're seen and heard in the way you talk to the waitress at the restaurant or the clerk at the store or the neighbor on the other side of the fence. That's when people will see if you're a true follower of Christ or not. Even just at home and how we talk with our wife or kids or the patience or grace we show to them, what they see in us. Are we becoming like Jesus at all through our spiritual religious practices? Has going to church and reading His word and prayer really entered our heart that we're truly believing it now and beginning to obey it? Or is it just false religion? Jesus said, what comes out of our mouth reveals what's really in our heart. Oh Lord, help us to not go through the motions, but to truly let Jesus be the center of our heart, that the people around us would hear Him and not our sharp tongue. This reminds me of the prophets in the Old Testament and how Isaiah and Amos and Jeremiah would often say, your religious festivals and your fasting and your covering yourself with sackcloth, it means nothing if God is not in it and causing you, you know, to treat your employees better and to care for the poor and the hungry around you or to stop striking each other with angry fists. Well, this is all that James is saying, the same thing. What good are your spiritual practices if you're not able to control your tongue when you're out among the people? If you speak with hate and malice and slander and gossip against your neighbor, or put down your wife any chance you get or blaspheme His name, this doesn't reveal Christ. Ephesians 4:29-32 says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it might benefit those who listen. It says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Another example he shares of how we live out Christ as pure religion, he says, is verse 27, religion our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to take care of orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. He's talking about loving people in need. Taking care of orphans and widows has been something that God has called us to do in both the Old and New Testaments, to look after those in need. And orphans and widows were the most vulnerable in that time in society. From the earliest days of the church, they set up meals for the hungry, the poor, the widows, and took in the orphans. They did as Philippians 2 says, in humility, consider others more than yourself. Don't just look after your own needs, but the needs of others. There are a lot of Jesus' teachings, like the Good Samaritan and like Matthew 25, where it teaches us this way, that what we do for the least of these, we really do unto him. It's mercy to the sinner. It is food to the hungry, water to the thirsty, clothes to the naked, compassion to the prisoner, hospitality to the stranger, care for the sick. They will know we are Christians by our love. 1 John 3:17 says this really convicting verse for me. It says, if we have material possessions and yet see someone in need and have no compassion on them, how can the love of God be in us? Dear children, let us not just love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Our scripture says that religion that God our Father accepts as the purest and faultless is guarding our tongue and loving people with the love of Christ. We may think of ourselves as a really religious person, but this verse is actually saying that the purest form of religion and devotion to God is heard and seen in the words that we say and in the love that we show. James mentions one more thing, though. Besides keeping a tight rein on our tongue and loving the needy, James mentions one more way we're called to be doers of the word and not just hearers. He says, to keep yourself from being polluted by the world. What he means is simply, don't become like the world. Be different. Be set apart. Let Jesus be your guide. Let God's word change you into becoming a new person that's more like him and less like this world. I like how Paul put it in 1 Timothy 4:12. He said, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for others in speech, in conduct, and love, and faith, and purity. Set an example. Don't be polluted by the world. Don't follow the crowd. Don't start to listen more to what they say and less to what God says. Stay different. You've been called and chosen by God, saved by the blood of Christ on that cross, who died for you and loves you. Live for him. Be different. Set apart for him. Be salt and light in this world. Jesus said, if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? You're the light of the world, he said. People don't light a lamp and put it under a bowl. They put it on its stand so it can give light to everybody else in the house. This is what I've done in you, Jesus says, and what I want you to do for others, to be salt and light in this world. James says, don't be polluted by the world. Don't think and become like them. Think and become more like Jesus. Speak and act like he would. For we are called to be in this world, but not of it. We're to believe and live for him within it. Martin Luther said, the world doesn't need a definition of religion as much as it needs a demonstration. That's what James is saying. May we reveal Jesus to a world that needs him. May our faith not be but just heard, but seen. And not just going to church, but in the ways we live and love each day. In the words we say to each other. In the grace we show to those people in need. In the character that he wants to grow in us. May we humbly accept the word planted within us and let it change us. It's listening for his voice and doing what he says. Have a wonderful Mother's Day. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To stay up to date with all of Bethlehem Covenant Church's information and events, head to bccwaverly.org.